Good, Craig. How are you guys?
We're great. I appreciate you taking the time to do this. And can I get a an amen from you on this thing that I've asked virtually, I think, every play-by-play voice I've had on for all of the games this year, Jay Walker. And I know you know all these guys, by the way. Jay Walker at Louisiana, J.P. Heath at Rice, Chuck Barrett at Arkansas, Brian Jensen at Texas Tech, Brian Estards from TCU, and then, of course, our good friend Toby Rowland at Oklahoma, that everybody's so thrilled to have games to go to, full stadiums to attend, and to be back in the broadcast booth and things. So I'm assuming I get the amen from you on that as well.
Yes, and it's been nice to even go to practice. You know, last year I'd go to Thursday practice in the stadium, and that was about it. It was, you know, we did everything remotely, and which was fine for the time. That's what we needed to do. But yeah, now it's kind of back in routine. It's nice because everything was, and of course, stadiums, that goes without saying. But even some of the little things, the day-to-day things, are nice, because last year it was not that way. So, yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you, if I remember correctly, now correct me if I'm wrong on this, Hunzi, you did travel with football, right? But it was basketball, obviously, where everything went remote for you.
Yeah, at basketball, everything was remote. Football, we traveled, you know, which was, we had no issues. And for us, it was, we caught a really huge break. We had the rotation where all the games were the drive games. You know, last year's rotation, conference-wise, was Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma, TCU, and Baylor. Well, for us, none of those are more than a five-hour drive, so you just hop in a car and go.
Sure.
And it's really easy. I mean, K-State, KU, I went down and back on both of them same day. We played like at 3 o'clock, and I just jumped in a car early in the morning, went up there, did the game, came home. So it was really nice that way. We were very fortunate that we had the schedule set up the way we did so that we could pull that off pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Are you on the same rotation as Texas? Do you have the flight trips to both Ames and Morgantown this year?
We do. Yes, we certainly do.
Yeah, it's the same.
So that's a little different dynamic.
Yeah, same here as well. Dave Hunziker, play-by-play voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, joining Craig Way and Jeff Howe here on Light the Tower.
Dave, Steve Sarkisian said this earlier this week, and I agree with him. Watching this Oklahoma State team, it's you're complimentary of Mike Gundy, yet you're somehow astonished at how he's really flipped this program from one about a decade ago that wanted to score as many points as possible and just hope to turn you over a couple of times and get a couple extra possessions, to one now that they want to kind of run the football and limit possessions and win with defense and field position. It's been an interesting yet successful turnaround on how he's kind of flipped the philosophy there.
Well, I think when Iowa State went to their defense and everybody realized that throwing balls over people's heads was going to stop, and then everyone else started going that direction, he felt like, well, we better start playing tight ends, which we had done anyway, and you better figure out how to win games on defense, because the pinball machine numbers were going to go away. It just, you'll see them in some exceptions, like last week, your game, but you won't see a lot of that necessarily on a regular basis. We've seen a little more of it in the conference play last week or so, but I just think he moved four scholarships to defense. Felt like he had a really good coordinator with Jim Knowles, that if he gave him the adequate tools, they could be really, really good on defense in this league. And it's worked out. I mean, the Boise game, there wasn't a point scored in the second half. Oklahoma State just played keep away. I mean, it was huddle, slow. I mean, we went from playing the old school Loyola Marymount basketball to playing like Princeton. I mean, that's basically what we've done. We are not afraid to go snail, and it's worked. And yeah, they've been, you know, the, like you said, all of the units are complementary of one another. You know, the special teams have been really good. Pro Football Focus has Oklahoma State as the best special teams unit in the Big 12, and it's worked really well.
Dave, would you say, you brought up the Boise State game, and we were watching it at the end of a Texas game, and then got home to see the end of it and that sort of thing, and what you just described, a scoreless second half, and there were some big stands made, stops made, and field goal blocks and stuff like that. Would you say that was a big benchmark for this particular football team, given what Boise has done since and their win over BYU and the mere fact that they could go out to Boise, Idaho, and get a win like that?
Well, and it was, because they had no experience at receiver going to Boise. None. they were starting two guys that had never started before. The guy that made the game-clinching catch was a walk-on, a freshman walk-on. They had nobody because they were so beat up and depleted. Brennan Presley was it. The outside receiver spots were manned by, you know, guys with no experience whatsoever. And as a result, they felt like they had to run the football and shorten the game. In fact, Coach Gundy told Casey Dunn during that game week, he said, "Casey, 55 offensive plays." And Casey's like, "Coach, you can't do that. You can't go 55 plays." And Coach Gundy said, "We'll try." I want this thing screwed down. And it worked. And, you know, they played keep away from Boise, and they hit just enough big plays in a run game to be effective. And it went exactly as they wanted it to go. And when you can pull that off and you're so depleted, you can still win a big game like that. Does a lot for your football team because they were in rough shape offensively, personnel-wise, going to Boise and fell behind and, you know, came back and won. That does your confidence a lot of good.
Dave, when you want to play this style that Oklahoma State's adopted, you can't turn the football over. How much of this style succeeding is going to continue to hinge on more of the good Spencer Sanders and less of the Spencer Sanders we've seen at times that might have a propensity to maybe fit a ball in where it shouldn't be or be kind of loosey-goosey with it when he's on the run, just him taking care of the football?
Yeah, he can be that way. I mean, you know, he can be a little loosey-goosey for sure. You know, the Baylor game, it's like you guys know what an M80 is, one of those big firecrackers?
Yeah.
It was like they decided they'd hold the M80 in their hand as long as they could. And they got rid of it, and it blew up. It just barely missed their finger. That's what happened against Baylor is they were -3 in turnovers and still won a play, which is amazing. It's only the third time since Coach Gundy's been the head coach that they've been -3 turnovers and won. And what happened was every time there was a sudden change, the defense knocked Baylor backwards. You know, two of those possessions after OSU turnovers near midfield, once one deep in Cowboy territory, Baylor went, I think, -5 and -7 yards on those possessions.
Wow.
I mean, that's as good as it gets. I mean, the defense has been, when the offense has kind of screwed them over, pardon the terminology, the defense has just gone beyond good to exceptional. But you can't live in that world. You know, Spencer Sanders can be a bit loosey-goosey. That can't stop. You know, I think here's the way I look at it, guys. The quarterback play has been, you know, average to above average. If you're going to continue this magic carpet ride, it has to jump up another level. You can't have average or just above average quarterback play to have an extraordinary year. At some point, it has to go to, you know, really good quarterback play. And Spencer's progressing that way. And the thing is, you know, usually from mid-October on, he's at his best. Well, it's mid-October, so we'll see.
I was going to ask you about Jaylen Warren, a real bowling ball of a back, and what he's been able to do. It's been pretty effective.
He has. You know, transferred in from Utah State. The interesting thing was he probably added in a short amount of time as much strength and speed as any offensive player Coach Gundy's had here. Really made leaps. In fact, he had a bunch of techs after he broke off a 75-yard run at Boise. He had friends in Salt Lake City where he grew up saying, "You're not that fast. Wait, that touchdown run, you don't run like that. That's really? Were those guys that slow on defense?" It's like, "Well, no, I'm faster than I used to be." It's really funny but true story. And he really fits what they do in the run game in that, you know, they're a zone-blocking team. He is not a guy that will look at a few arms and elbows and stuff in the way and feel like he needs to dance around and hesitate. He'll just blow right through those arms and elbows and get where he needs to go. And, you know, he's been good. He also a pretty nice receiver out of the backfield. You know, Oklahoma State's longest pass play of the year was a screen pass of 52 yards to Warren against Kansas State. Boy, there's a sign we're in a pandemic. Oklahoma State's longest pass play, almost midway through a season, is a screen pass. Lord knows that tells us we're in the middle of a pandemic.
This is what we mean about unprecedented times, right?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the world's coming to an end. I mean, the next thing we're going to – if our longest play on the season is a screen pass, I swear to goodness there'll be animals lining up in pairs getting on a boat. So you better watch out.
Dave Hunziker, play-by-play voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, joins us. To go back to the defense, you're talking about how well they played. Is it anchored by Malcolm Rodriguez? Is he the straw to the whole deal there?
He is. He's just solid as a rock. He's not that big, Craig. You know, he's 5'11"-ish, 225, 230-ish, but he's an old wrestler, so he understands leverage. He's a terrific tackler. He's top 10 in the country and active among active players and tackles. I mean, he's just rock solid. He's always where he's supposed to be. He's a tremendous leader. He's a four-year starter. He just, you always know what you're going to get with him, and it's really good. And he is the guy, without a doubt.
Yeah, Dave, you hit on it a minute ago that I was actually going to talk about this next segment, but since you brought it up, we'll go ahead and hit it a little bit here. Is he kind of the embodiment of this philosophical shift Mike Gundy had probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, where he wanted to not just devote more scholarships to defense, but really stopped looking specifically for, you know, safeties or corners? He just wanted speed and athleticism, and now, you know, the heartbeat of your defense is a guy who was a high school quarterback.
Yeah, and who also was a safety before he moved down to linebacker. You know, particularly on the back end, that's a really good point. You know, Jim Knowles is kind of that Gary Patterson type way of thinking is, I'm just going to go find a bunch of corners. We'll figure out once they practice who can cover the best and who can fit the safety bill the best, and, you know, let the best man win as far as who gets those corner positions. So I think that's what Gary has done. That's what it looks like from the outside, that, you know, just I'm going to go get a bunch of guys that can cover. And, you know, and I think that spreads across, though, to some of the players you see at the linebacker position. And, you know, they have great depth on the defensive line. They're more athletic there than they've been. But it's, yes, there's been a big transformation. And, you know, Jim Knowles has been terrific. They'll be aggressive now. They're not afraid to blitz. They'll play press man on the outside with no safety help. They don't care. They're coming. And they just kind of say, hey, if you get us, you get us. And, you know, their coverage has been terrific. Even, you know, the analytics, Pro Football Focus, has their coverage, the pass coverage, the best in the Big 12. And a lot of times those guys are on islands, and they're used to it. Now, you're getting ready to face some teams that can exploit that, that have the athletes and players to exploit that. So now we'll see where they really stand.
Dave, yesterday in the news conference, or in his news conference this week, Mike Gundy said that that somebody asked him about getting into a track meet type of thing and shootout, and he said, "Yeah, I'd rather avoid that." And again, maybe this comes from the department of dogs and cats lying down together, whatever. But you know, in terms of wanting to play that game between the 20s. And to limit possessions for Texas, is that kind of what we're talking about? What he would like to do with Jim Knowles in a perfect world this Saturday?
Yeah, they may go up tempo for a series or two, but they don't want to play fast with anybody. The defense is too good. They're good at rushing the football. They're really, really good in special teams. No, they're not interested in playing fast over the course of 60 minutes with anybody. I just don't think that's just not this team's personality. They don't want to do that. And they don't have the receiver depth to really do that. You know, in previous years, you'd run out a whole bunch of guys with a lot of experience at all three or four receiver positions. They don't have that. And I think to play fast, to do that over the course of a game, you really need that to just keep those guys running down the field and wearing down a defense. They just don't live in that world.
Are you saying they want to move even slower than you drive on I-35 coming down from Stillwater? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't drive that fast, so yeah, probably so. My wife were driving, it'd be a different story, but me, I just kind of putz along, listen to smooth jazz, and act like an old man, which I am.
You know, there you go. Yeah, but your wife works in an ER, so she knows about having to accelerate things, right?
And, oh, yeah. She's in an ICU, actually, so she really knows how to accelerate things.
Yeah.
If things are going for her, she might get in the car and drive somewhere fast and never come back.
Yeah. And by the way, she was one of those frontline workers who just did yeoman's work during the pandemic last year. I take it everything's okay with her with it, because I remember you telling me things got really, really scary there in Payne County there with your ICU and the number of beds that were available for a time.
Yeah, they're holding up. You know, it's still pretty crowded. You know, the numbers seem to be going down, which is good. So they'll feel that effect. There's always a delayed effect with hospitalizations and so forth. But looks like some progress is being made. And yeah, it's been an interesting 18 months for sure for a lot of people in a lot of areas.
Yeah. Now, do you still have a daughter at Florida State?
I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah, she's a senior. Yeah, she's. How about this, Craig? She's not big into sports like my oldest. She went to one Florida State football game, and it was a Notre Dame game, which was epic.
Well, I started to say, now she's got Mike Norvell turned around. They got back-to-back wins, including beating Mac in North Carolina. That's pretty good.
I know. You know, although I was afraid she had the same jinx I had. When I went to the University of Missouri, Missouri was still rolling along in the early 80s and going to bowl games and so forth. And I show up and they go 3-7-1. 1-10, 3-8, 5-6. Well, she had the same effect on Florida State, except now they might be doing a little bit better. It's just the Hunziker jinx. So if I have a grandchild, want to go to school in Austin, just absolutely do not let him in, because he'll screw your football team up. Just don't do it. They can go someplace else.
He's Dave Hunziker, our good friend, and the play-by-play voice of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Hunzi, thanks for the time. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday morning down here.
Oh, me too. Thanks for having me, Craig. You guys have a good rest of the week.
You too. All right. Thanks.